to give or not to give. Surprise 3. Giving and gaining. Giving and receiving is one of the joys of earthly life. Living within three-dimensional limits provides us great opportunities to apply ourselves, gain knowledge and skills, acquire property, and utilize, trade, or gift it, and progress spiritually at the same time. When giving something, people typically expect to gain something. There are usually strings attached to gifts. People may have agreed upon an exchange or may simply expect a return, either material or non-material. Hosts often expect dinner guests to bring flowers. Parents bribe children to study or do chores. People buy affection, special treatment, or good behavior. They buy votes in favor of their enterprises or pay to avoid being prosecuted. When giving charitable donations, people usually gain something: public status, a name plaque, or even a building named after them. Sometimes donors want preferential treatment, approval of community leaders, or silence about their misdeeds. People even worship gods, goddesses, or God in order to get something in return. All giving with expectation or hope of gain is commerce. We calculate the risk, expense, and gain, and evaluate whether the gain is worth the risk and expense. It is good to subject much of our expenditure of time and energy to this accounting, for we learn to conserve resources. We learn to be efficient and utilize our time and energy intelligently. We invent tools and systems to improve productivity. Commerce itself is founded upon distinctions, separation. From a stance of separateness, without love, without awareness of unity, one focuses primarily on receiving and can then behave in ways we all know are shameful and inhumane. Common practice in commerce is to say and do whatever one can get away with, including lying, taking advantage of others, bribing, extorting, exploiting, or even causing death of others in order to gain as much currency as possible. Commercial philosophy fosters division. It leads to evaluating human beings only according to their economic usefulness, like objects. Proponents of this philosophy describe the disabled, uneducated, and elderly as useless eaters and say they should be eliminated or have medical treatment withheld. This, despite the fact that societies and infrastructure were built on the backs of people who are now elderly and many who were uneducated. Most humans are reviled by such suggestions, but many who advocate this philosophy occupy positions of worldly power. Commerce relies on expressing the value of materials and services as a number denominated in currency. People are so habituated to evaluating everything in currency that human thought has become limited, confined inside the box of commerce. From a spiritual perspective, expressing value as a number is totally impossible. Spiritually, there is not only one scale, like currency, but an infinite number of scales. The scales are not linear, and the value of things cannot be measured as a number of anything. Spiritual qualities and gifts are immeasurable and can be compared only in a very general sense. They cannot be bought or sold. They cannot be bequeathed. They can only be earned by one's own effort and action. When one even thinks about commerce, exchange, trade, buying or selling, love and giving without thought of receiving vanish instantly. Self-interest arises immediately without realizing it. Commerce and spirituality are mutually exclusive. Although commerce in itself is not spiritual, it is possible to remain aligned with spiritual principles while engaging in commerce. People can trade with honesty, integrity, love, wisdom, and fairness, and without greed, selfishness, withholding relevant information, or exploiting anyone. As humanity progresses spiritually, principles of justice will increasingly influence commercial practices. Commerce will eventually become unnecessary, although the knowledge and skills will remain, as it will be replaced by pure, wise giving. Giving and receiving are necessary and profoundly beneficial here on earth. The challenge is to balance the two. Eventually, one sees them as not separate. Our body knows itself as a whole unit. It wouldn't think about which organ to favor over another, but does automatically what is best for the whole body. When our sense of self expands, we give from one part of ourself to another part of ourself. Giving and receiving merge into one, since we are conveying to and from aspects of ourself. Because the present rules of commerce reward selfishness and greed, anyone who focuses primarily on giving ends up with less and is often cheated. Opening of the heart results in giving more. The more one's heart opens, the bigger the challenge to figure out how to engage in commerce without being harmed. The more open one's heart, the greater the need for discernment, prudence, intelligence, and skillful communication.